came out tonight. We'll start with thing number 332 in the Red Book. It's years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. And from the church, we'd like to pass on our condolences to Sister Vanessa on passing up your mother. So this one will see you there. So, but we're glad to hear she was a Christian, and we know that you'll see her again someday. You know, that's the hope of the Christian tonight. So years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Amen.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing that it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdens of my liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned, then I trembled at the law I spurned, till my guilty soul on glory turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was holy light to me. There my burdens of my liberty at Calvary. Now I give to Jesus everything, now I gladly own him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdens of my liberty at Calvary. All the love that through salvation's plan, all the grace that brought it down to man, all the mighty love that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdens of my liberty at Calvary.
Amen. We'll just open my word of prayer then this evening. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again this evening that we can meet here in and through your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. We know that we meet in your name, that you have said you would be in the midst and not to bless. Lord, we invite you to come, Holy Spirit, from the very start of this service. Come, be one of our number. Come, Lord, and help us to worship you and praise you and give you the glory, for it's all, you're worthy of it all glory and all praise, you're worthy of it, Lord. Lord, your people have needs tonight, Lord. We all have needs. Maybe, Lord, we have physical needs. Maybe we need a comfort. Maybe we need financial needs. But, Lord, you know everything. But, Lord, if there's needs of soul salvation here tonight, we pray like Samson, Lord, when he come to the end of his life and he said, once more, Lord, do it, Lord Jesus. Once more, Lord Jesus. And, Lord, our prayer tonight is, once more, Lord Jesus, move and Lord, may the slain be unto you, Lord Jesus Christ. May the people come to you, and Lord, may that spirit of yours strive upon them. May they know that they have a need of salvation. May they know that there's a way to salvation, and that's in and through the precious Son, your only beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, your only ever prayer away, as we've heard, Lord Jesus. Lord, our prayer tonight is, save souls, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, our prayer is, Lord, for pastors, they bring the word. Give him words that he ought to, that you want him to speak, Lord. Words that'll be a blessing to us. Words that'll be a conviction. And Lord, maybe somebody might hear this service on the internet or somewhere. But Lord, your word will not return void because there's power in it and it's the truth. Lord Jesus, just help us now in the remainder of this service. Help us to worship you. Help us to praise you. We pray for our brother Gary, where he's up country now.
Yes,
give him, Lord, what he ought to speak. Lord, bless him and bless his family. Keep your hand upon them. May they have a good service, Lord, and grant them traveling mercies. Lord, for those maybe still on their way this evening, grant traveling mercies, we pray. But keep your hand upon us. For those that couldn't make it, bless them now. Bless them and provide their every need. And Lord, help us tonight, we pray. For sin and through your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just get a drink here. See her brother and sister here. I don't suppose you brought the flute, did you? No, no. I know. I was just thinking, if Tommy was here, he'd have you up at the front, so he would. Yep, no. We'll sing another one then, as we're going to sing up one. 408, Are You Trusting Jesus? All along the way, more abundantly. 408 in the Red Book. Are you trusting Jesus all along the way? Does he grow more precious to your heart each day? Are you his disciple? Test his word and see. He will give the Spirit more abundantly. Thursday evenings where we won't have the prayer service. That'll be the 16th and the 23rd, and Tommy and Sharon will be away that week. So that Sunday the 19th we'll organise, some of the brothers will be preaching that Sunday. So 16th and the 23rd there'll be no Thursday night service with July, the holidays, people maybe be away, but Lord willing the next two Thursdays up until that there'll still be service here. So, and in case I forget, we'll be away as a family on holidays this week now. Thursday night coming, if the brothers could remember to put the clear, just put the mats and so forth aside, because they'll all be used on the Friday here. So we just set the chairs to the side and pull the piano in and so forth on Thursday evening coming, just So if you remember that, that'll be great. We'll sing one more. We'll stand at our feet. We'll sing one more before our pastor comes. We'll sing There Is a Name I Love to Hear. It's 156. And there's a couple of versions of the chorus to this one, but we're going to sing Oh How I Love the Saviour's Name. So it's There Is a Name I Love to Hear. And for the chorus, we'll sing the version Oh How I Love the Saviour's Name.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love the Savior's name. Oh, how I love the Savior's name. Oh, how
sin and sorrow free, I'll sing the new eternal song of Jesus' love for me. That's what it's all about. It's about trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there the blood bought throng, he paid a price at Calvary for me and you, for all those that accept him. What is it? You're from sin and sorrow free. I'll sing the new eternal song. That says in one of the choruses, we'll be able to sing a song the angels cannot sing.
Amen.
Because the angels could never be saved. They're different. They were a different being to us. But we are men and women. We're able to afford of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and us, all our loved ones has passed on. We'll meet them that day. We'll sing with them. There'll be some gathering that day. We think of your grandparents, your parents, maybe siblings, friends that went on. If they're saved, they'll be there. That'll be someday. We'll sing verse 6 again in the chorus, and then our pastor Tommy's going to come and bring the word tonight.
And there with all of love, but run from sin and sorrow free.
This evening that's come along, our brother Gary and the families away the night, well earlier, to preach down for Sister Valerie, and pray the Lord will bless them this evening. It was so nice to have Paul Welch this morning share his testimony. It'll be on our website, and for anyone didn't hear it, wants to hear it, omegaministry.co.uk. And I've surprised all the time the people that listen in on that website. There's a few other new people again that sent a message and were telling about the different sermons. They've been listening and you think nobody's hearing it, but there's more people than you know hearing it. And then our brother Keith was wanting our brother John's testimony on the angels, and it's on our web page somewhere, but it's also on Brother Brian Freeborn's webpage. So I was able to forward that to let them hear it, John's testimony and the angels. Praise God. So the Lord bless all those tonight, and the Lord bless you, Sister Vanessa, and all the family at this time. Please keep praying for Ken Davison and his daughter and the two wee grandchildren, that everything will be well. We know that things weren't good, but we're believing things is getting better. Amen. For them. Let's turn tonight to Leviticus, and I don't know why I'm preaching in Leviticus. I did a whole study before Leviticus, right through every chapter. It's on our web page somewhere. But I just felt led today to do it. And I wasn't sure if Paul wanted to share a word or just share his testimony, but I wanted him to have the freedom to share a word on his testimony, and he spoke really well, and it was a break for me as well. I enjoyed it. And a brother's gifted. Skipped it from the Lord, and it was a real, real blessing. So I want to share this tonight, and I was probably going to preach on, I've been preaching on different parables of the Bible, and we just did a short series on the blood as well, and many people have been listening to that. I've received a lot of messages as well about that. So you just don't know where it goes. You think, well, some people's missing. There's maybe not as many here as that want to be here. But God knows, doesn't it? Praise God. Let's read from Leviticus, and then you can be seated. Let's read from verse 1 to verse 9 this evening. And this is about the burnt offerings that typify Christ and his death. And really, it's about the devotedness of Christ, you could say. But also, these offerings typify Christ and his death. And I just want to share some thoughts tonight from Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1 of Leviticus 1. And the Lord bless each one. And the Lord called unto Moses, speak unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel. And say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a meal without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest Aaron's son shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire upon the altar and lay wood in order upon the fire. And the priest Aaron's son shall lay the parts of the head and the fat in order upon the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water. And the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. Let's bow our heads tonight. And if you have a need tonight, lift your hand up if you're listening in and you have a need. Just wherever you are, just lift your hand before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we bow before you tonight. In the name of thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that we can gather in the name that's far above every other name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in your name shall the gathering of the people be. And Lord, you promised when we gather in your name that you will be in the midst of us and that to bless us. We thank you for the blessing tonight. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost right now to help me. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for your precious blood. Cover us, everyone, and wash us in your precious blood. Forgive us every wrong word, every wrong deed. Sanctify us and cleanse us with the washing of the word tonight. Asking you for the hands that's raised in the service and those listening in that you will meet every single need. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for Sister Vanessa and all her family circle, you know, every one of them, that you'll bless them, strengthen them, and comfort them at this time. We ask you, Lord Jesus, for Pastor Ken and his wife and family, especially thinking of his daughter and them to be grandchildren. Lord, you know all the circumstances, you know everything about it. But we're asking you for mercy tonight, for grace tonight, for a miracle touch from heaven upon them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless Brother Laurie tonight. Bless George and Winifred tonight. Father, for others that perhaps had to work, bless them, be with them. For all the nurses and their doctors, bless them, strengthen them. For your own people, Israel, bless and strengthen tonight. And encamp them round about, we are angels, we pray. And Father, now encamp us for a time in this service. Close us in with yourself and speak to us from your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I believe that there's so much in these offerings to study. And I believe if we were to study through the book of Leviticus, it would certainly deepen our reverence for the Word of God and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ that it's speaking about and we're bringing out tonight. And we should never overlook the fact that all the particulars given concerning these five offerings in Leviticus, they reveal all different aspects of the Lord Jesus Christ's life and his work. And we're given these were all, you know, they were given to Moses by Jehovah himself. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation. Such was the position for which Jehovah made the communications contained in this book, that he spoke directly to Moses. God had a plan, we know from the beginning, that we can know the character of Christ and his sufferings beforehand. He foretold us through the Old Testament. And this burnt offering is a reproach offering, indicating the way to God. And I want for a few moments tonight to speak about it, and I won't cover everything I can't, but just for a while this evening, and I won't try and keep you too long tonight, but the first thing, the character of the offering, it's what I want you to see. And much depends upon the character and the manner in which it was offered. So we want to look at the character and in the manner in which this offering was offered to the Lord. First of all, it tells us it must be without blemish in verse 3. Not only in the sight of man, but in the sight of God. That the lamb must be without blemish. It must be a lamb, and it must be a lamb without blemish. And we know that Christ, God's beloved lamb, was without blemish and without spot. And just in the Old Testament, as a lamb had to be without spot, and a lamb had to be without blemish, 14 days old, and there's all particulars on the lamb, what it had to be, or the bullock, anything that was picked for a sacrifice, had to be without blemish, had to be without spot. It had to be the best they had. And it was offered upon the altar. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was the best that God had. He was better than any prophet. He was better than any priest. He was better than any angel. He was the best that God had. And this wonderful phrase is mentioned in 1 Peter 1 verse 19, but it's also mentioned 40 times in the Bible. And I want to just mention this phrase tonight. And this phrase is the phrase without blemish. This is a wonderful phrase. I should probably just to preach the whole service on this statement, the without blemish. 40 times in Scripture it's mentioned. It's important when the Word of God is mentioned so many times that we need to pay attention to it, that we need to pay heed to it. People preach from someone and it's only mentioned a couple of times. That's fine. But this is mentioned 40 times in the Bible. This is so important that it had to be and it must be without blemish. 1 Peter 1:19 says us, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish. The blood of Christ is precious, and it's as of a lamb without blemish. The Lord Jesus Christ was without blemish. He is the sinless, the spotless, the blameless Son of God. And without one sin. No, without spot, without blemish, is without one sin in thought, in feeling, would have to be made. Anything at all, it wouldn't be clean. But he had no sin. He knew no sin. And he did no sin. Here's another thing in verse 3 as well about this sacrifice. It must be brought to the door. It had to be brought to the door. There is a specific place to meet. There's a specific place for the sacrifice had to be brought. It had to be brought to the door. The door of access to God has been blocked by sin for 2,000 years, for 6,000 years. Blocked by sin, but the Lord Jesus Christ came and he was the door. And he said, by me you may enter in. But in this Old Testament, thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ, this sacrifice was brought to the door, offered at the door, so that the way in would have the sacrifice. And we can enter into the presence of God tonight by the door, because the door is the way of the sacrifice. For Christ is that door. The door of access, blocked by sin. It can only be opened through the suffering and sacrifice. And Jesus Christ came for that purpose, to open it through the suffering and through a sacrifice. Now he says in Revelation 3 verse 8, behold, I set before you an open door. The door was once blocked by sin. Cherubims in the Old Testament guarded the tree of life. They guarded the door. And you couldn't have went in. But now there is a way made. A new and living way. Through the precious blood of the Lamb. John 10 verse 9 it says, I am the door. By me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and shall find pastures. Let me read just a little quotation tonight. There's only one way that goes into the body of Christ. There's only one door to the church of the living God. And Jesus is the door. I am the door, I am the way, the road that leads to the door. I am the door to the sheepfold. He said to this church age, I have set you an open door. That's the seventh church age. And to this seventh church age, to this dispensation, he says, I've set before you an open door. Now the open door is not some denominational name. It's not some prophet. It's not some great movement. It's not the Pope of Rome or King Billy. None of them. But the way into the door is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Our brother shared so well this morning, didn't he? You can have religion and not have Jesus. You can have all the trimmings and be lost. You can have all the trimmings and be on your way to hell. And there's many tonight have all the trimmings of Christianity. And all the roads of popery. And they're on their way to hell. Because they've never come to the door. They've never come to this door. This sacrifice is at the door. I'm the door to the sheepfold. I've set before you an open door, he said to the Methodist church age. They turned away from it. He went on, an organization, but I've set before you an open door. Now we heard this morning that brother telling us he was brought up in a lovely Methodist church, but they never once told him he needed to be born again and saved. Now I know there come a Methodist churches tonight in this wee country that do preach a wee bit of the gospel. I'm not here to blast them. But there's many tonight, not just Methodist, but Presbyterian, churches of Ireland, churches of everything. Call them whatever you want to call them. God does not recognize any of them names. There's only one thing he recognizes. That's the blood token. The blood of his son, Jesus Christ. There's no man who's going to get to heaven and say, because I'm such an organization, I get in. He won't get in because of that. He'll only get in because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the door into the sheepfold. How do you get into Christ? By one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which is Christ's Spirit. We've entered in, not by handshaking or sprinkling, but by the Holy Ghost baptism. All are baptized by one Spirit into one body. One Holy Ghost baptism into that door. Here's another thing in verse 5 in Leviticus chapter 1. Verse 5 says, a blameless life. Let me read you verse 5. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest's Aaron's son shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Must be killed before the Lord. Can't be killed somewhere else. Must be killed before the Lord. A blameless life is not enough to atone for sin and remove the barrier from the door. A blameless life is not just enough, but Christ must die. Christ not only come and lived in this earth and walked in this earth, but Christ died. He died that I might be forgiven. He died that I might go to heaven. He died. The Lamb's blood had to be shed at the door. And Christ's blood was shed. He must die before the Lord. His death was Jehovah's doing, not man's doing. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. The atonement has to do with God. It's God's plan, the atonement. Jesus Christ made full atonement. Oh, I thought of these wee words of song this morning. Me and my wife was trying to find that hymn. I don't know if it's redemption. I remember singing it years ago. Full atonement can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Full atonement can it be? I want to tell you tonight that Christ's atonement was full atonement. Not a part atonement, but full atonement. Psalm 53:10 says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days. and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Jesus Christ made full atonement. He died at the door, sacrificed at the door, the way in. Here's another thing, verse 8. And all the priests, Aaron's son, shall lay the parts, the head, and the fat in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. It must be laid in order upon the altar. You see, when you take this Bible and you take the law of the first mention and you take the principle of Scripture, every single place that you're going to find a sacrifice where any of those prophets or men of God sacrificed, they had an altar. And the sacrifice would be laid upon the altar. And verse 8 tells us everything here must be brought in order, as everything is typical of him who come to do the will of the Father. The kneeling of Christ, our sacrifice upon the cross, is here in a figure. He was nailed to the cross. He was placed on the altar of sacrifice for our sins. Jesus' sins never nailed him to the cross, for he had none. But our sins nailed him to the cross. He took our sins. Not only did he take our sins, but he took the sins of the whole world. I was thinking the other day, I saw some fellows out preaching, and I'm going to say it again, I make no apologies for this. There's some people like to preach for contention. They want the police to arrest them. They want to get in trouble. They want to upset people. And they pick individuals out and they preach them a sermon. I don't believe in that. May God help us not to do that. Do you know why? John 3:17. Everybody knows John 3:16. But what about John 3:17? John 3:17 says that God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I've come to think that some of these preachers think they're holy. They maybe think they're better than the people they're preaching to. And they forget, as our brother preached this morning, of the place he came from. From the gutters. Old W.P. Nicholson said, from the guttermost to the uttermost, Christ delivered me. We cannot look at no person and preach them a condemnation message. Jesus Christ never come to condemn us. He come to save us. Christ does not hate the sinner. He hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. Jesus Christ died to save sinners. And he's a savior of no one but sinners. He's God's appointed lamb. He came into the world to save sinners. Colossians 2:14 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances which was against us, which was contrary to us. And he took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. He was placed on the altar of Calvary. He was nailed to it for our sins. Here's another thing in verse 5. Its blood must be sprinkled. You read of the sprinkling of the blood in verse 5. There's much I could preach about the sprinkling of the blood. We could go into the tabernacle and preach how the priest sprinkled the veil 7 times and all the instruments 7 times. Everything had to be sprinkled 7 times. But pause with me and let me give you this for a moment. Before the priest could sprinkle, or before the priest could do anything, the priest in the Old Testament sacrificed for himself. Then he sacrificed for the people. But we have a superior priest tonight. We have a greater message tonight. For our priest never once sacrificed for himself, then the people. For he had no sin. But his atonement was for us and only for us. All his blood was shed for us, for our sins. So when he sprinkled for us to be clean. He paid paid the full price for our sins. The blameless one become the lifeless one. The blood which signifies life, Leviticus 14 and 17, if you want to take scripture, the life is in the blood, must be applied both to the outer and to the heart. The sprinkled blood saved the firstborn of Egypt. Because the firstborn of Egypt, the death angel, was passing over. But God said to Moses, thou shalt sacrifice a lamb to every house. And you'll place the blood in the basin, and you'll take the hyssop, and you will place the blood on the posts of the door and on the lintels of the house. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I tell you tonight, this sprinkled blood was seen blood. God seen it. And God honored his word. And the death angel passed over. I tell you, when the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ sprinkles your heart, dear one, it cleanses you from all your sin, from all your unrighteousness. And God sees it. And that's what's needed tonight, for God to see it. Firstborn were saved because of it. You could read Exodus 12. The blood of sprinkling still speaks. Now for the way of time, I can't go too much into that, but Hebrews 12, 24, unto Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, unto the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel's. I tell you, this message of Jesus Christ's atonement is superior. And you know that Cain slew Abel. Cain slew Abel, and his body fell in amongst the thorns. And Abel being dead, yet his blood could speak to God, and God could hear the blood speaking. And the blood could cry out to God, and God responded and said, Cain, what have you done with your brother? For the voice of your brother's blood speaks to me from the thorns. And we know that the thorns is a place of the curse. For God cursed the earth and man's sin. And thorns and thistles, he said, will bring forth. And Abel's blood cries from the ground, from the thorns, from the curse. And how we see the lovely Lord Jesus on the cross with the thorns on his brow and the blood streaming down from those thorn wounds and him crying from the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Both Abel and Christ were shepherds. It's the voice of the shepherd's blood. Abel was not a willing sacrifice. Abel's life was took from him abruptly, unknowingly. He was murdered. But the Lord Jesus willingly gave his life, for he is God's provided lamb. He said, I've power to lay my life down, and I've power to take it up again. I tell you, the voice of the shepherd's blood's real tonight. Real enough that it can turn a drug addict, we heard this morning, with not some testimony, out in his mind with drugs, but when the Lord Jesus got him, he changed him, he transformed him. That's what God can do. I want you to look at verse 9. Its inward parts must be washed. But the inwards and the legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn oil on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. These inward parts must be washed. The inwards may suggest the thoughts, the feelings, the intents of the heart, that which must be clean before God. I tell you, the Old Testament, here, let me give you this. It says in the Old Testament, their blood covered sin for a season. The animal had no life on it. There was no spirit on the natural lamb or the bullock to come back on the people. So every year they made a continual offering. And then you get, the New Testament says, their conscience
was never made clear. But I want to tell you that the blood of Jesus Christ is living and is speaking and is not congealed tonight or dried up tonight. It's living blood. I want to tell you that the life for that blood is the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost regenerates us. We're born again in the Spirit of God. We're regenerated. And our conscience is made clear by the blood of the Lamb. And all the wrong feelings and all the intents of the heart and all the wrong things, when we repent of it and turn to the Lord, He washes us clean with His precious blood. He was perfect in the Son of the highest as our Passover Lamb. He could say in Psalms 40 verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is in my heart. God's law was in his heart. He did the Father's will. We heard Brother John preach a wonderful message just the other week about it. Never once was he out of the Father's will. He did the Father's will. What is the Father's will? Let me tell you in this service tonight, the Father's will. God says, it is not my will that any should perish. Are you hearing that? You're wondering, should the Messiah? My Bible and God is saying, it's not my will that any should perish, but that all should come to the saving knowledge of the truth. God wants to save. Now I'm going to come to a close. I'm not finished. One more thought and I'm closing. Verse 9. All was given to God. He offered himself holy and acceptable, a sweet savor unto the Lord. It must all be laid upon the altar. All laid upon the altar. This is my last thought. I'm not finished, but I'm going to close. Ephesians 5 and 2. And walk ye in love as Christ have loved us and have given himself for us. An offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. We learn from this something about the offerer. We learn from this that an approach offering was needed. Now I can't go on tonight because I'll be going on in here in Leviticus and I won't have time and I won't want to hold this too long. But Christ has been offered. We can approach God tonight. I tell you that God can save anybody. I don't care if they wear the rainbow colors and they carry a rainbow flag and they're openly a homosexual. Jesus Christ, if they'll only come, can save them. He can save the prostitute. He can save the down and out drunkard, the drug addict, anybody and everybody that will may come. Whosoever will may come. Christ can see him. All who come. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. May the Lord help us to be humble. That we don't look down our nose at somebody and think, oh, God couldn't do it for them. If every one of us would think back how filthy, dirty, and stinking we were till Christ got a hold. Jesus Christ saves. Aren't you glad tonight He saves? Are you saved? Maybe somebody listening to this service and they're not saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's stand our feet this evening. Brother Mark's going to come in just a moment. Christ was offered for you and me. Offered for you and me because He was offered for me and you, and because we accept Him, we receive Him. You know,
There's five wonderful words in faith. Five wonderful words in faith. Forsaking all, I take him. Forsaking all, I take him. That's what you have to do. Forsake all and take Jesus. He'll transform you and he'll change you. Let's close our eyes tonight. If someone wants prayer, and just lift your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. If you're listening in tonight and you need God's touch, God can touch you over the airwaves. He can touch you anywhere at all, wherever you are. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the word of God. We bless you for the wonderful testimony and word we heard this morning. Bless our brother Paul Welch, we pray, and his family. Father, such a testimony. From the guttermost to the uttermost. Oh, we praise your name. Lord, we see you tonight in this offering in Leviticus. We see you. You're standing out so clear. You're the perfect Lamb of God. You're the door into heaven. You're the way, you're the truth and the life. No man can come unto God except by me. For I am the way, the truth, and the life. Whosoever shall call on your name shall be saved. Father, I pray you'll move on men and women tonight. Speak to the hearts and lives. Save, I pray, and deliver. Ask you for those that need a touch on their body physically. Lord, you're a healer as well as a savior. You're a baptizer in the Holy Ghost. And you're the coming King. Lord Jesus, tonight, touch men and women. Save and heal, I pray. Lord, we think again of our loved ones and our families. We claim them. We ask for them. Plead the merits of the blood over them, the token upon them. We ask the Holy Spirit will go to work on them and bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. Bless our brother Mark and sister Alvin, the family, as they go on the holidays. Give them a real blessed time, we pray. We thank you for them. Any others that's traveling at this time, bless and strengthen and be with them. Lord, for each one that's come tonight, bless them, we pray. Meet their every need. Have your way in these meetings. Have your way in our lives as we acknowledge you in all our ways, knowing you'll direct our paths. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen. God bless you. As our brother Mark comes, God bless you. Thursday night we'll be here. Lord willing, and the one thing is, God is willing. He's always willing. Praise God. And next Sunday we'll be here again, the Lord willing. And I'll be preaching in the morning and Samuel in the evening. Pray for next Sunday that God will bring someone in. Hard to get the unsaved in, but pray. Let's believe God will bring them like the ark. They'll come in. The Lord bless each one.
You know, isn't it great to hear what the Lord has done for you? Sacrifice that he made. I'm going to sing 305 in the redemption. It's under the burden of guilt and care. Many a spirit is grieving. Who in the joy of the Lord might share life everlasting receiving? Amen. It says, you know, you read the words of these old hymns are brilliant. In verse 3 it says, burden one, why will you longer bear sorrows from which he releases. Open your heart and rejoicing share life more abundant in Jesus. Isn't that something? Just to open the heart and receive him. Amen.
Under the burden of guilt and care. Yeah.